You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. Come on, good morning, everybody. It's always a good day right here at High Ridge. We are so glad that you're here. And for all of you watching online, we're going to give you a big warm round of applause and thank you for coming and tuning in today. I want to say a special hello to the Berry family watching from Albertville, France. We love you. I want to say a very special hello to all my family. My grandma is watching this morning from Abilene, Texas. Hi, Grandma. So I love her very, very much. She's a widow and not able to get around a whole lot and spend a lot of time with her church family. But this morning, we are your church family, and we're happy to take on that responsibility. We love you. All of you watching, man, we got people watching from Kansas, from Mineral Wells, from Abilene. We got people watching from all the way in Orr City. Crazy. We're so thankful that you're here. Welcome to church, everybody. Grab your Bibles, if you would. Let's go to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and as we turn there, I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity. Many of you are supporting us financially with tithes and with offerings, and it's a big deal to not just take care of the lights and the water here, but to be able to support amazing missionaries. We had two missionaries in our church service this morning that are serving in places that I can't even mention. I can't even tell you their name, but they were here, and on behalf of those that we can't even mention by name, let me just say thank you for supporting them. Thank you for supporting the work that is making a big difference, not just here in Longview, but around the world and in other churches. Yes. This past week, actually 2 weeks ago, we had a pastor's meeting here with LAMA, which is Longview Area Interdenominational Ministerial Alliance. It's a big name. And so we had a bunch of pastors and leaders here, along with LEADCO, Longview Economic Development. And we gave them fajitas. This wasn't no just show up and get yourself a sandwich. We got you some fajitas, because Tex-Mex, baby. It's an extension of who I am. But we believe in church unity. We believe that when churches work together, great things can happen. Psalm 133 says, God commands a blessing when brothers dwell together in unity. So I just want to say on behalf of other churches and missionaries, for people like my grandmother, I just want to say thank you for serving the kingdom of God. Thank you for being generous. Thank you for supporting us here. I believe God is doing great things through your generosity, and it's making a big difference. Thank you. As we're turning into Mark chapter 12 today, I want to bring your attention to the context of what we're going to read, because I think that's of critical importance today, as we don't just look at the story, but we look at who the story was written to and what's happening and kind of the timeline of the story. So this is what we would call Holy Week. So Jesus has done his triumphal entry, and he's just about to go to the cross. And so his days are numbered. There's just a couple of things left to do before he goes to the cross. He knows that in just a few days, his disciples are going to be lost. They're going to be crushed. They're going to be scattered. They're going to be freaking out. And so he gives them a powerful lesson by introducing them to a very special person. And he gives them something that they're going to need. And in that lesson, we find what we're going to need too. God is still speaking. His word is alive. And he's speaking to us things that we need to understand. This is critical in the life of Jesus. It's critical in the life of the disciples. And it is critical for us right here in Longview, Texas today. So Jesus starts this, and I want to pick it up in verse 38. Jesus says this. As he taught, Jesus says, watch out for the teachers of the law. Like, be careful. You guys watch this. He says, they like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in marketplaces. Like, oh, Jesus, really? That actually sounds pretty good. You ever had a great flowing robe? You ever had somebody greet you with respect? That's evil? What are you talking about? That sounds like a pretty good thing. No, he says this. They love to have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. Like, who wouldn't like that? That's a good thing. No, but he gets to the point. He says, they devour widows' houses. And there's the problem. He says, they love all these things. They love this place of honor. They love to be respected. They love the nice things, which everybody loves. But he said, look what they're doing. They devour widows' houses. And for a show, make lengthy prayers. He says, these men will be punished most severely. In other words, don't pray so long, especially if you're having me over for dinner. If you pray for more than 20 minutes, I will never come back to your house. I'm like, look, it's getting cold. Let's eat. you would be punished most severely for praying too long. I'm just kidding. That's the I can't help but read that and chuckle a little bit. Like, Jesus getting kind of serious about people praying too long. He was hungry. And it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where offerings were put and watched the crowd putting money into the temple treasury. Jesus is watching what people give. Uh-oh. We could just stop right there and underline it and be like, go down and do likewise. Jesus is watching. But he says, Jesus sits down opposite where people are giving. This would be in about a 60 by 60 room. This is what would be referred to as the court of women. This is as far as women could go into the presence of God without being part of the Levitical priesthood or without being the ones that can go into the Holy of Holies. This is as far as women could go in this day. And this is where the offerings were put. These are 13 different trumpets or offering boxes. Is what we would call them today. 13 different trumpets around this small room that they would come in and present their gifts, and Jesus sits in that room and watches people give. He says, the crowd was putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. And notice this, calling his disciples over to him, Jesus said, look at this woman. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. Jesus makes it a point to show his disciples, like, you need to pay attention to this. Don't pay attention to the fact that these people are giving out of their abundance. Pay attention to this one lady. And he gives them a lesson that they're gonna need over the next few days. A lesson about what it means to count the cost, what it means to give when it makes no sense. Now, when I hear this passage taught, and I think this is the very first time I've ever even taught out of this particular scripture, I just want you to know, as I read this, I have a hard time with the scripture. I have a hard time watching this widow give everything that she has after the teachers of the law have devoured her house. I have a hard time with that story because it doesn't give me the ending. It doesn't show me how God came through. It doesn't show me how, you know, she might have left the temple and someone was waiting like, oh, God moved upon my heart and I've got a mansion waiting for you to move in. I'm gonna take care of you the rest of your... It doesn't say that. It doesn't show us the ending of the story. It just shows us that Jesus took notice and pointed it out to her disciples, to his disciples. He pointed out her story to them and made a big deal out of it. And so it's hard for me to look at that story when I hear it taught. Many times pastors will take this message and make this about tithing. Tithing being giving the first 10% of our income to God. But this is not about tithing. This doesn't say she gave the first 10% of what she had. It says she gave 100%. This is not tithing. This is not honoring God with the first. It says she gave the last of what she had. So this is not about the first 10%. This is about extreme generosity in the middle of horrible circumstances. This is about someone's heart saying, Lord, my very existence depends upon you taking care of me. This is someone going all in, saying, God, this is all I have. Yeah, it's not about tithing. I want you to see this, and I want to make sure that you understand it. So I want to put it on the screen for you. To God, generosity isn't measured by the sum. It's measured by the sacrifice. And this is where I think we need the biggest lesson in today. I want to give you 3 points, lessons from a nobody. We never know this woman's name. We don't know anything more about her. She's only mentioned one time in this scripture, but it's critical that we understand that there are lessons that God wants to give us, lessons from a nobody, things that still speak to us today. And here's the first of those 3 things. If you're a note taker, write this down if you would. Number one, Jesus knows the culture. Jesus knows the culture. He knows what's happening around this woman and around her giving. Jesus points it out. He says, watch out for these teachers of the law. Look at the culture. They love nice things. They love to be honored and greeted, but they're also devouring widows' houses. Jesus understands the culture of what was happening in the church. Jesus understands that they were corrupt. Jesus understands what it takes for her to still give in spite of people taking advantage of her. And that's important for us to understand because if someone's taking advantage of me and then you ask me for something, you can forget it. But it says, Jesus sat down and began to watch people give. Jesus was a people watcher. Where are my people watcher people? Where are we at? I can sit down and watch people forever, and I wish I could say it's because I enjoy, you know, praying for them, and I enjoy celebrating the great. That's not true. I like making fun of people when I am completely off the clock. I can sit in an airport and just watch people and just look at my wife and be like, no, she didn't. Look, what in the world? This girl's got 12 dogs coming out. Like, how'd I have to sit next to her on a plane? It's insane the things that you'll see, especially at DFW, International Airport. Like, go to an international airport and just sit there for about an hour and just watch people. Don't get on your iPad. Just watch people. You will have insane entertainment. And Jesus is watching people. I remember one time we were waiting for a flight, and several of us were headed to a pastor's convention in Las Vegas. Pastors in Las Vegas. And as we're sitting there waiting for our plane to take off, there was a lady that was at the counter, and she was just having it out with the American Airlines attendant. I mean, just going off on her. You know, you've done this, and you've done this. And she's getting louder and louder, and we're looking at each other like, look at this lady. Look at this over here. Crazy, like just watching them go back and forth. Like, I could watch that all day. Why? Because it's not happening in my church. Not my circus, not my monkeys. I'm just here for the show. And they're going back and forth, and she's obviously having a horrible day, and this person wasn't giving her any kind of attention, wasn't willing to make any concessions forever. And then she comes and leaves that counter, and then she sits right down next to me. I'm like, thank you, Jesus. I'm off the clock, man. I'm just trying to go to Vegas. She sits down right next to me in that huff, mumbling stuff underneath her breath, and I'm like, all right, Lord, I hear you. She's having a real rough day. Like, this is about to get turned on to me, but nevertheless, thy will be done. And so I said, it looks like you're having a really rough day, you know. Are you okay? And she begins to tell me her story. She's like, I've been in the same clothes for the past 3 days, stuck in this airport. They will not get me onto a flight. They've messed up this. They've messed up that. No one will listen to me. And I feel like I'm all alone here, and I'm dirty, and I'm tired, and I haven't slept, and I'm done. And I'm like, that's kind of a lot, you know. Tic-tac, you know. What are you really? But my wife and I said, can we pray for you? I know you're having a rough time. And she said, that would mean a lot to me, thank you. And so I began to talk and began to just pray for her, ask the Lord to help her, ask the Lord to get her home. And so we noticed as we're getting on the plane, she sits down in first class. I'm like, well, you're not that bad off, let's be honest. The rest of us heading back to low class and you're up here with the rich people. But she sits down in first class and, you know, she smiles as we walk by. She just says, thank you, I needed that. And so she's calm and I'm like, okay, we did our good deed for the day. We land in Vegas, we're waiting at the baggage claim, and I notice next to me is a celebrity. I'm like, I know this guy from somewhere. And I realized a little bit later on that this is an MMA fighter and also an actor. You might know him as Randy Couture, the actor, big guy. And I'm looking at the person next to me, all I see is the cauliflower ear. He has a big, you know, swollen up cauliflower ear from wrestlers. And I'm like, you can't help but not know it, come on. And then I look at his face, I'm like, oh gosh, that's Randy Couture. And I'm like, wow, you must be Randy. He goes, I think you're probably the guy that helps my wife. I'm like, really? He said, my wife was having a really rough day, and I just want to say thank you for taking care of her and calming her down and praying for her. It makes it really easy for me to go home with her right now. I'm like, you're welcome, my brother. I'm happy to help you. But just looking around, people watching, understanding the culture gave me an opening to meet somebody's needs. I had no idea who she was. And here we see Jesus sitting in the temple, watching people give. Jesus understands the culture and what's going on as this woman has this radical generosity in the face of wealthy people coming and giving out of their abundance. Notice Jesus doesn't get mad at people for giving out of their abundance or that they're wealthy. He doesn't do that. He said, there's something here that's making more noise. You see, the 13 offering boxes had on the top of them, they had what was called trumpets, 13 trumpets. And it would make a lot of noise when people would pour their coins into those funnels going down into the offering boxes. And so you could imagine, if you will, for just a moment, if you were really wealthy and you're giving your tithes to the Lord and each of those is a coin, you'd want to get small coins so you can make a ton of noise, right? Like, bling, 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 bling. Oh, is that my giving? Bling, bling, bling. And it sounds like Chuck E. Cheese or the kids' casino, as we used to call it. You know, that bling, 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 bling. So they have 13 different offering trumpets set up, and all these wealthy people would come, and their job is to just try to stay at that offering box as long as it takes, just to make sure everybody hears the noise. I've been really blessed. God has been so good to me. Bling, 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 bling. And then you hear this poor widow woman say, clunk, clunk. And Jesus says, pay attention to that one. He says, now watch out for those teachers of the law, because they've devoured women's houses. These widows, they've taken their homes, and she's still giving. Pay attention to that. You see, there's a big difference between giving out of abundance and giving out of necessity. And she gives all that she has to live on. Now today, if we were sitting in church service and say Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk comes in and they said, man, I really love what's happening here in Longview, Texas, and I feel stirred up on my heart to give $100 million to the church. Let me just tell you, we would stop service and just have a little shouting party, because that's great. We get to take care of a lot of people, and a lot of vision gets to be pushed fast forward. Now that's awesome. But a person like that could write a check for $100 million, look at me, and not feel it. It makes no difference to them. But you think about a single mother with a couple of kids trying her best to just make ends meet and then giving like $100 to the church. They feel that because they need that. And this is essentially what Jesus is bringing their attention to. Like, these people are giving out of their wealth and out of their abundance, but they don't really feel it. She feels it. It makes a difference to her. She needs that. And Jesus tells his disciples, watch this, watch. She's not giving out of her abundance. She's not giving the first 10%. Think about this. Scripture says she gives all that she has. She has two copper coins. She could have given one and given 50%. But she gives it all. Says that's everything that I have. So this is also at a time before Social Security and Medicaid, before things that we have set up to take care of our elderly and the widows and those that are getting on in years. This is before that. It was the job of the priest to take care of these widows. And they did not only had they neglected that, but they've devoured her home. And she still gives. You tell me Jesus doesn't understand the culture of the day and what's happening in the church? See, culture always tries to find a way to overrule the heart of the Creator.
That's good.
But Jesus recognizes what is happening. And as this temple, the church of the day, is celebrating wealth, they've begun to overlook the needs of those that were most vulnerable. And that can never happen to us. God has been incredibly faithful and generous with us. It can never become part of our posture that we say, Lord, thank you for what you've done, and forget about those that have much less than us. You see, out of those 13 boxes that people are putting their money into, 7 of those would be considered tithes, the first 10%. This is to take care of their sacrifices and all the things that they have to fulfill being part of that Jewish tradition. But then there's another 6 that were free will offerings, or what we consider a designated fund. If there is something going on that the temple was taking on a special project, people could give towards that. Say what we would call like our heart for the house, our debt payoff, or if we were doing a construction project, people could say, this is over and above, this is not my tithe, this is part of a designated fund. So you have tithes, you have offerings, then you have the 13th trumpet, and this would be alms for the poor. And history and commentaries tell us that this is the one that she's giving into. This is not the first 10%. This is not some special project. This is her giving to someone that has even less than her. Think about that for just a moment. You know, the Apostle Paul tries to correct that when he's establishing churches all over what we consider now the Middle East. And he's speaking to young Timothy, and he said, we can't become like those other teachers of the law that have neglected those things. He says this in 1 Timothy 5. He says, give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and ask God for help. He said, we're not like them. God's gonna bless us. Let's pay special attention to those that have a lot less than us, and you take care of them. And he gives instructions as a church that this is what we're supposed to be doing. Jesus understands the culture and understands how other people have done this very wrong. And he establishes his church and says, we're not gonna be like that. We're gonna take care of each other. Here's the second key I wanna show you. Number 2, not only does Jesus understand culture, but number 2, Jesus knows my circumstances. Jesus knows exactly what you're walking through today. That's important for us because when we see this story, this woman is not introduced to us by her name, she's introduced by her circumstances. Jesus says she's a poor widow. Now, it's not like she walked in with a little sign, hey, I'm poor and I'm a widow, but Jesus knows. And I want to make sure that you catch that. This is not something that she's advertising, it's something that Jesus knows and perceives. This is a poor widow and she's given all that she has, because in the middle of all these people coming and giving all this money to all these other trumpets and there's lots of clinging, clanging and change happening, there's a different sound of her putting in 2 coins. Now, in the celebration of all this wealth, it'd be easy to say, what kind of Like, we're trying to be generous over here, and this lady's putting in two small copper coins. Come on. What a tightwad. No, Jesus recognizes this is something different. She's giving all that she has. You see, some gifts make huge noises here on earth, and some gifts resound in heaven. Some gifts Jesus brings special attention to. He says, you guys need to watch that. So there's our sirens are going off, by the way, if you can't hear online, but you're in a 100-year building with a lot of concrete in force, you're going to be fine. This is the safest place in the world for you to be. And we're in the presence of God, so if he takes us today, we're good. Here's what I want you to see. Nothing about what you're walking through is a mystery to Jesus. Somebody needs to write that down. Jesus knows my circumstances. He knows the culture. It's easy for us to look around the world and say, Jesus, you don't understand what we've got going on right now and inflation happening. I can't afford to be led by your spirit. I can't afford to be generous. I can't afford to take care of other people's needs. I can barely take care of myself. Jesus knows your circumstances. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 6, I know what you need before you ask me. I know what you need. But he also tells us very clearly in his word, ask me. Ask. How many of us don't have because we didn't ask? He knows our needs, but he says, before you ask me. I think for some of us, we believe that Jesus knows what we need, but we've forgotten that he also wants us to ask. You see, it's very easy to let my circumstances give me an excuse to never trust God. If anyone had an excuse to withhold, it was this woman. If anyone had an excuse to not trust God with the rest of her life, it's her. But this is extreme generosity in horrible circumstances in the midst of a culture that didn't want to take care of her, and she still gives. Jesus knows my circumstances. And when Jesus says this, she's given all she had to live on. That word live is the word in the Greek bios, which is where we get our word biology, the study of life. In other words, she's saying my very existence depends upon God helping me. And that pushes me, that challenges me to a new level of dependence upon God. God understands my circumstances, and it's a challenge sometimes for me to let it get past my mind that God is absolutely able to take care of me. You know what's crazy in this story, and with many others? In the Bible, you're gonna find that the major amounts of stories of generosity, great generosity, they almost always revolve around women. Now, other than like Joseph of Arimathea or like the three wise men that, you know, that we say three, but the wise men that came and offered Jesus great gifts of generosity, like you're going to be hard pressed to find a lot of generosity stories that involve men. They're mostly revolved around women. Like, where are the men in all these stories? They're like, Lord, I love you, but I can't be all in. We also have a little boy in his lunch, which it had to be a little boy because no grown man's ever given up his lunch. That's not happening. But most of them revolve around females saying, Lord, I'm all in. I trust you. Maybe it's easier for them to trust God with all that they need. And maybe it's more difficult for us. I don't know what that means, but I'm saying it's a true fact. And here is a woman that trusts God saying, my very existence depends upon you. I am all in because I recognize that you see me. And what you can do is much better than what I can do with what I know is not enough. So I don't know if you've ever had a time where the Lord has asked you to give when you knew it was not enough, when you knew that you didn't have enough to live on. Have you ever been in that place? Because I've been there quite a few times. One of the things you'll understand, if you step into ministry, God is going to push you and challenge you to do things that you're like, this doesn't make any sense. I can't do this. Some of you have heard this story, but I was leaving a youth service one night where I had just taught these young people about the principles of giving and learning how to manage money. They're gonna spend the rest of their life having money come into their hands and working jobs. They need to know what to do with it. It's an important lesson to teach our young people how to honor God with the best and with the first of what we have. And as I'm leaving the church that night, heading back home, my wife calls me and she says, hey, you know, sweetheart, on your way home, I know that we're a few days before payday. She said, but we're out of diapers. I'm like, oh man, like diapers are expensive. And I also looked down at my gas gauge. My light was coming on, and I knew I was just a couple days till payday, and I still had to get to work over the next couple days. My work was about 30 miles from my home, so that's 60 miles both ways. And that's at least 2 days worth of gas, and I knew that wasn't gonna be enough. I'm thinking, how in the world do I make $10 stretch with gas and with diapers? I said, sweetheart, can we just maybe take the diaper off, put him in the backyard, let nature take its course? I mean, we got a tall fence and our neighbors aren't going to see. What do you do? And I had just been preaching about honoring God with the best of what I have and believing that God can take care of me. And now I'm having to live it out. And I think we love stories like that in the church of hearing how God provides and God asks people to take these great steps of faith. We love those until it's you. We love it until it's your turn. You're like, oh, somebody needs to help me. Help me right now. Somebody help me. Jesus, let me win the lottery. But in this moment, I recognize that this was more than just a need. This was an opportunity for me to really trust God. And so I just began to pray on my way home. I remember driving back up over the Lake Worth Bridge. It's there in Fort Worth. And I was praying and said, okay, God, this money's not enough. And in my wallet, I had a $10 bill. That was it. That's all. I'm like, God, I took it and just held it in my hand. I'm like, God, can you multiply this right now? I need you to multiply this because this is not enough. Maybe they'll sell diapers by the singles. Like, do they do that? Can we assess it or break apart a pack and just take a couple, one for today, one for tomorrow? And I'm trying all these ways in my mind to get it to work out, and it doesn't add up in any way. So I just began to pray. Okay, Lord, this is not enough. You said bread and fishes can be multiplied. Can you do it with a $10 bill? Can you help me? I'm trying to do what you've asked me to do. But Lord, we're broke. I'm not asking you for some kind of something crazy. I'm saying just the bare necessities. I need to be able to go to work. I need to take care of my children. And so I heard the voice of the Lord begin to speak to me, and I recognized the holiness of that moment. The Lord began to speak to me, and he said this. He said, are you going to trust in a $10 bill, or are you going to trust me? You going to trust that $10 bill? I'm like, well, it says in God we trust on this thing. Help me. The Lord said again, are you going to trust in a $10? Are you going to trust in what you know is not enough? So I rolled down the window and threw the $10 bill out the window. I said, okay, I'm all in. Whatever you say, I'm in. Now I got nothing. So if you're ever out there walking across Lake Worth Bridge and you find a $10 bill, that is mine and I need that. And I wish I could tell you, I've had multiple people ask me, like, what happened? How did God come through? I can't remember, but he did. I don't know, but he did. How'd you get to work with no gas? I don't remember, but it worked out. My children became potty trained real fast. We potty trained at 6 weeks. You're gonna learn today. Let me remind you of this simple fact in Ecclesiastes. It says this, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. And if you look around at your circumstances, you will always find an excuse to not trust God. God, you don't understand inflation. You don't understand this person is in control, and these people have done this, and my boss, and my job, and my raise, and I don't have it, and I need this. If you constantly look at your circumstances, you will always find an excuse to not trust God. But learning to trust God when it makes no sense, learning to give when it makes no sense is a sign of a changed heart. God says, you're all in. And I trust in the God that will never, ever abandon me. A God that sees what I need and takes care of me. I've had the privilege of walking through times in my life where we've been given so much crazy things, crazy generosity, but it started with a $10 bill. Here's the last point I want to make. Number three, Jesus knows the cost. Jesus knows the cost of following after him. And I promise you this. When you come to Christ and make him the Lord of your life, a true relationship with Jesus is going to cost you everything that you have. Salvation is free. Grace is free. His mercies are new every morning. But following after Christ means to lay it all down. And this is where many of us find the major issue today. I want to follow after Christ, but I never want to surrender the parts of my life that he's asking me to trust him in. And the biggest issue that we have today is money. And especially in the Americanized version of the church, we have a hard time ever trusting God with this. Why? Because churches are corrupt and because people will do these things with it. And I don't agree with where that should go. This lady gives us no excuse. They took her house and she still gave. She gave to people that had less than her. This is where the Lord confronts us in our greed and asks us, are you going to allow me to be the Lord of all of your life or the Lord of some of your life? And I've had to learn this lesson multiple times in order to be able to stand up here and proclaim God's word to you with an honest heart and say, I've been there and I've done this multiple times. And I can tell you on the other side of that, you're gonna have to walk through it too. Jesus' disciples came to him, by the way, in Matthew chapter 16. And Jesus says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever who loses his life for my sake will find it. He said, there's a cost attached to following me. And understand this, that when Jesus was asking them to count the cost and to lay things down, when Jesus called to the brothers on the boat in their family business, he said, come follow me. It says they left their nets. We're all in. You're all we got. They left it all. I'm all in. You see, here's another lesson for us to understand. Trusting God also means that there are some results I will never see. They didn't understand what would happen throughout history, that many of us are believers here today because of their willingness to get off the boat, step in the water, to lay everything down and say, Lord, I'm all in. I trust you. I trust that what you have is better than what I'm walking away from. And this lady, by the way, scripture doesn't tell us that this poor widow was ever confronted by Jesus. It doesn't tell us that he met her needs in some way. But I know this, Jesus never had an encounter with someone that didn't leave them better than how they came to him. It's just his pattern. He always takes care of people. So I have to learn to trust the story that he takes care of her, even if the story doesn't say that. Why? Because I trust the character of God, and I've seen this happen in my own life. He takes care of me. He tells us over and over in his word, consider the lilies. He said, look at the birds. Do I take care of them? Yes. He said, I will take care of you. But it's difficult for many of us to ever truly make him the Lord of our life because we want to see instant results. We want to see, Lord, I gave and then you have to do your part. You know, Jesus is not Santa Claus. He's asking us to count the cost of what it means to be a disciple, to lay down things like greed, to die to our flesh, to die to our wants, to die to our theology, and say, Lord, I'm in this. I'm in this with the rest of my life. You know, this woman makes such a big difference without even realizing that she has become the sermon example for Jesus to his disciples. And I believe that the reason why Jesus makes a special note of this woman was because the disciples would need to recognize in just a few short days a very simple truth that they're not alone. See, in Mark chapter 10, right before this chapter, Jesus was approached by the rich young ruler, and some of you know the story. This young person came and said to Jesus, Lord, I've kept all the commandments since my birth. Is there anything that my life lacks? I wanna make sure that I'm good. And Jesus said, man, you're so close, just one thing. He said, ask me anything. He said, won't you sell everything you have and go all in? And that rich young ruler, it said, he turned away sad because he had lots of possessions. You know, Jesus doesn't make him a guarantee in that moment. He tells his disciples, anyone, by the way, that doesn't lay all these things down, you're not worthy of me. And those that have laid all those things down, he said, I'll give them 100 times more. And scripture says this, he says, in this life. He doesn't say that to the rich young ruler. Otherwise, he would have gone all in because Jesus gave me a guarantee. But Jesus is asking him to trust. He's saying, I'm worth your trust. But these things have your heart. And your greed has become your God. The Lord wants people that trust him. That trust him completely. He wants to be the Lord of all of your life. And sometimes this is the biggest issue standing in our way. We'll allow our circumstances and the culture to keep us from ever trusting God with what we have. When the rich young ruler walks away, by the way, Peter steps up to Jesus and says, wait. We've given up everything to follow you. Mark 10, 28, Lord, we're all in. Jesus says, hey, I know. And I'm gonna take care of you. And I believe that this widow woman in the temple is one last lesson to his disciples to remind them of the simple truth. In a few days, you're gonna feel like you're all alone. Like all this came for nothing. Like you guys left your businesses, left your homes. You guys are broke for the cause of Christ and now he's put into the grave. You're thinking, did I just do all this for nothing? Did I leave everything, all of my assurances and all of my backup plans and my family, was that all for nothing? And Jesus gives them this lesson to say, there's people out here that have done it too. You're not alone. I want to remind you of this simple truth, that your yes to God is never just about you. It's bigger than you. And so when God asks you to give, when he asks you to serve, when he asks you to go all in, there are results that you will never see this side of heaven, but it's making a difference, and you're not alone. Others have done it too. You know, almost 5 years ago, we had had a word from the Lord to put together this building, and we saw the cost of this, of the construction of this building, which was $2.2 million, and that was, you know, might as well have been $220 million. It's a huge thing. Now, maybe $2 million to you is not a big deal. For the rest of us, that's a big deal. We present it to our church. We say, we believe that this is what the Lord has told us to do, and I know it's a lot. But we're going to be obedient to what he says. And I ask people to pray about what they would give so that people like you could come to a church and experience this today. You could sit in the seat that other people donated to for you to sit in. We believed in this. And so we gathered together. We began to pray as a church saying, okay, Lord, what would you have us to give? And man, I was blown away. I began to cry at the generosity of people. I didn't see which people gave what. I just saw amounts coming in. I don't like to keep my hands on that. I don't know how much you give or if you don't give. That's not a big deal to me. It's not my job to see that. And I don't want to, because it'll make me not like some of you. But as we began to pray, I looked at my wife and she looked at me. I said, what do you feel like the Lord is asking us to do? And at the same time, both of us said, give it all, everything we have. We cleaned out our checking account, cleaned out our savings account, went liquid, gave everything that we had to stand behind this church because we believe in this. So I'm not telling you to do something I haven't done. By the way, that wasn't even the first time, and it wasn't the last that God spoke to us and said, give it all, everything you have. And I do that, number one, out of obedience to what he told me. But it comes from a lesson of trusting God with a $10 bill that I knew was not enough. You can't give it all if you haven't been faithful in the little things when you needed it. And I'm just telling you, God has absolutely taken care of us. And this is an incredibly generous church. When many churches right now have decreased their budgets and have had to lay people off and cut off missionaries and organizations that they're trying to support because people are not giving to nonprofits. Why? Because it's an election season and people are freaked out and they're tired and they're scared. And inflation is up and the dollar is down. Nevertheless, God's kingdom advances and people like me and people like you are still all in on this deal. I believe that God exists outside of our circumstances. And he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think or even imagine. That's the God that I serve. I wonder if you could ask yourself a simple question. What has it cost me to follow Jesus? Your salvation is free. We're not talking about your salvation. God's mercy, his grace, those are free gifts. But in order to be a follower of Christ, it's going to cost you something. And for many of us, the Lord's dealing with our hearts when it comes to supporting his kingdom. And I want to encourage you just like Jesus did by showing them a poor widow that gave everything that she had. And he tells his disciples, you're not alone. Other people have done this too. My wife and I, after that offering, we had an invitation to come to dinner with a couple, and then a week later, another couple. But we sat across from that couple, and we talked about this future and what it might look like. And these couples have moved on to other states, but they both told us in that moment, like, God has led us here for a season, and we want you to know that this is a check for everything that we have. We're all in. You remember this, sweetheart? Both of us began to weep, and we're like, holy Lord, we're not alone. It wasn't just us. But God began to move upon the hearts of others that believed in you and believed in the future of this church. And you're sitting in a chair that other people paid for, saying, we believe in what God can do at this next step. And at some point, we're going to ask you to do the same, to believe in what God can do with the future of this. It's bigger than us. But to hand off to our children, to our grandchildren, something better than what we had on our watch. And say, this is about a legacy of teaching them that greed is not our God. And our God is above our circumstances, and he can take care of me, and he can take care of you. Can you receive that? Is that all right? As we finish up today, I want to give you a chance to maybe respond to what the Holy Spirit might be telling you. I'm not here to take up some offering. I'm not going to ask for your money. That's not what we're doing. This is not about tithing. This is about your heart. For some of us, we felt like we're all alone, like Jesus doesn't see our circumstances. And I want you to know, God's word says otherwise. He sees you, and he wants to encourage you with that today. For others, you're walking through a season of abundance, and the Lord is saying, can I be trusted with that? Because I want to bless you with more. Others are walking through a deep season of lack. I want to remind you, God sees you, and he's able to provide for you. If you trust him, he will never, ever throw you away. He will always take care of his people's needs. And so with heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a chance to respond to what the Holy Spirit may be saying to you. Would you simply say, Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? Can you pray that? And if you're watching online, would you pray that as well? Holy Spirit, what could you be saying to me? Are there areas of my life that I haven't trusted you with? Is there a greed thing going on in my heart that you want to be Lord of? Lord, how does this challenge me? Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd speak to every single person within the sound of my voice and those that are watching online. I pray you confront all the issues that we have in our hearts that keep us from trusting you with what we have. Some of us have little, some of us have much. But in order for you to be the Lord of all, Lord, we wanted to say, Lord, we're all in. Whatever you say to do, my answer is yes. Let my answer continue to be yes. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want you to be able to trust me with your kingdom. Holy Spirit, speak. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, one last question. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, if I'm going to be honest with you, I don't have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe like me, you were raised in church, but you've walked away from God and you need to come home to a relationship with Jesus. My friend, if that's you, I want you to know that this next part is just for you. If you want a relationship with Jesus, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me right now. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died for me. I believe you rose again so that I could have life, forgiveness for my sins. I ask you to be the Lord of all of my life. I'm all in. I give my life to you right now in Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, if that was you and you prayed that prayer, can I just see your hand all across this place? I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. Just lift up your hand and say, I did. I prayed that prayer. That was me. I prayed with you, Pastor. Good. Anyone else today? Good. I want you to know if you prayed that prayer, perhaps you're watching online, there's a number appearing on that screen. I want to invite you to text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number, and I'm going to send you the link to some things that I prepared just for you to help you in your relationship with Jesus, and I'm proud of you. For everybody else, go ahead and look up at me if you would, and let's stand to our feet together. We're going to end our service by asking our elders and their wives to come forward, and these guys are going to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. And as always, if what you are watching online and if you enjoyed this service today, would you do me a huge favor? Would you share this message online? Share it with your social media influence. You would not believe the amount of people that watch what is happening here in Longview, Texas every single week. Last week was 2,300 people that you guys shared the good news of Jesus with. 2,300 people watching from all over the world. And by the way, that's a low average. That's low. So I'm just telling you, it's making a big difference than what you would realize. There's a lot of people that don't have a home church, and this is the best that they can get. And I'm sorry, I just want to apologize. There is better, but not for you. Let me just say, it matters when you share this message. That's a big deal. And so our elders are right here, and they're going to be available to pray for you about anything that you might need prayer for. And also, men, let me just remind you, hey, Beast Feast is coming up. We are now at 65% all tickets sold. We're 65%, and that number is closing quickly. So please don't wait till the last minute. I told you, like, please, this event's going to sell out. Don't wait. Guys, we want you to be a part of our Wild Game Dinner, and the message that God has for men specifically in this next season is going to be revolutionary, and I want you to be a part of that, so please don't wait. And for everybody else, let me bless you and send you out. Father, would you bless my friends with an incredible week, following after you, hearing your voice, being led by your Spirit all week long, in Jesus' name, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. I hope you have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support, and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.